Mediocrity Podcast. Talk about that nerdy stuff. Movies, comics, and video games. It's all good and there ain't no fluff. Brian Kluger is hosting the show. Jeremy Miggert's got jokes. Jonathan Atterbury sounds really handsome, and we all sure love you folks.
Oh, I'm so happy to be back with Mediocrity, the podcast that talks about video games, comic books, and movies of all kinds. We took a vacation a little bit. There was a Labor Day that happened, and there was a birthday in this trio of mediocrity. Happy birthday, Mr. Atterbury.
Thank you, sir.
How old did you turn? What did you do, and what did you get?
I turned 31 years old.
You are an old bitch.
Getting there. And let's see, my family came up and they stayed with me for the weekend. So my parents and my sister and my two nieces, and we went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium, and we went to Carmel, and we did all kinds of fun stuff. So it was a good weekend.
That seems badass.
It was indeed.
Did you get any Star Wars toys or anything like that?
No, I have a no Star Wars toys rule currently, and it's been really hard because being that Lauren and I move as often as we do, and we're doing the gypsy thing, I can't have a lot of stuff because we basically whenever we move, we just put all of our stuff in our two little sedans, so we can't really have a bunch of junk.
Oh well, no so Star Wars for you then.
Nope, keeping it simple.
I hate it.
And we also had another birthday recently as well, Mr. Jeremy Maygert. Mm-hmm. You and Mr. Atterbury have very similar birthdays, right? You're like what, 5 days apart?
A week. Yeah,
a week, 7 days. All right. So, what about you, Mr. Jeremy? Did you do anything fun? How old are you now? And did you get anything pretty awesome?
I'm 41 now.
Damn.
There you go. Let you get your moment in. You know,
holy shit.
Yeah. You know, I got the Star Wars Rebels. Got some. I got a Luke Skywalker Funko Pop from John and a Stormtrooper First Order action figure, and Josie got me some art supplies, and she got me an original art page by one of my favorite artists, so it was pretty good, man.
Damn, that's good. Some birthdays, yeah. Some Labor Days, some Star Wars. I like it.
And then the wedding next week, so.
Oh, my goodness. So, the wedding. Are you excited? Is it going to be the red wedding? Is it going to be a Star Wars wedding? Or are you going to divulge all the secrets afterwards?
Well, I can guarantee that no one's going to get murdered.
Can you guarantee that?
I'm pretty sure everyone's going to live.
Oh, that's funny. Well, we're all excited here. It's Mediocrity. We've been here a long time, folks. We've been here more than 50 weeks. I think this is episode 54 or something like that. But there's a lot on the docket today. We have to get to it. Mediocrity. Look us up on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. We're under Multimedia Men. But first, some news that came out today that we have to talk about, which I think you'll be excited for. It is official. Patty Jenkins has officially signed on to direct the Wonder Woman sequel. Of course, Patty Jenkins directed the first film, and now I guess Warner Brothers knows that she does well, and of course, it's made a fuck ton of money and good reviews for the most part, so they got her back, which is really cool. What do y'all think about this?
I think it's
good news. Yep.
Yeah.
Good deal.
Just took a while to work out how much money they were actually going to be giving her.
Well, you know, it's funny because actors get paid more than directors usually. And with the success of this one, and of course, you know, domestically, Wonder Woman has made over $400 million, and worldwide it's grossed over $800 million. So where does it fall, you know? There's other things where I want to bring up money-wise and actors and directors and shit later, but, you know, what would you pay Patty Jenkins to make this role, and what would you pay, like, Gal Gadot or Chris Pine, really? I mean,
one of those characters is dead, so... You don't really have to pay him.
Hey, I read that Chris Pine is returning for the sequel, so who knows? I don't know. I've read that he's coming back. But, I mean, let's say the budget is like $150 million, which is, I think, way too much money. But how much would you pay Patty Jenkins to make this movie? I mean, would you give her $30 million? Would you give her $10 million? Would you give her like $3 million? Or would you give her back end profits? I mean, it's all really weird. And plus, Gal Gadot, I mean, she could probably charge whatever she wants because she's leading this film. So I don't know. What do you think? What do you think about this whole thing?
Well, I think that if you want Patty Jenkins to direct it, you're going to have to pay her as much as she wants to get paid.
Well, I mean, she can't go say, like, I want $100 million. They're going to fire her and give it to someone else.
Yeah, but, I mean, I honestly don't know what the going rate is for directors and actors and actresses. So I would just have to look into that, I suppose.
Well, I mean...
I would think that $50,000 would be a more than fair enough price. But, you know, I think that might be lowballing it a little bit.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of the going rate for actors. It's like it's 80,000 or 200,000. It's something like that for like pay scale for a leading actor or co-star or whatever. So I'm always curious, you know, someone like Patty Jenkins who deserves a lot of money because she's done well, whereas like Vin Diesel is like the highest paid actor every year almost, but he's like literally the worst actor.
Now, I think we have to look a little deeper into the question of saying they deserve a lot of money. Are we certain that movie actors and directors deserve as much money as they get? Because
no
I don't
way.
Think they do.
No way they don't. Because they work for like, you know, on a movie, maybe, you know, a month, if that.
Yeah, exactly. And you get your ass spoiled basically the entire time. Get your little pretty trailer and all the money and all the food and all that stuff. And, you know, I mean, like, I can think of a lot of other jobs that deserve more money.
Well,
that make a fraction of it.
No, of course, like teachers and everything. But then again, these movies are making $1 billion, and these stars can demand this money because they know they'll fill seats. And with Wonder Woman 2, it's going to fill seats. It's going to make most likely more money than the original. And well, go ahead.
Plus, I feel like though, when you have the movies that make that much money, I don't feel like it's difficult to argue that it's the people in them and making it, that lead to it making that much money. You know, it's like would another Iron Man movie without Robert Downey Jr. make the same amount of money? I don't think that it would.
No,
it's true. It probably would not make the same amount of money.
So to me, what they're paying for and what they're getting is as much of like, you know, that actor or director, whatever, like their brand is really as much of what they're paying for in addition to their skill.
Yeah, it's true. But it's kind of like the question of, you know, a new Gears of War game is going to sell a lot more copies than a game like Limbo or something like that. But in a certain point, people just get tired of Gears of Wars and stuff like that, and you want to see more games like Limbo. You know, when I hear of a new Gears of War game, I'm personally like, man, I hope it doesn't sell, because I really hope it bombs completely, because I want to see more effort being put into these things. That's why I was so happy about our next topic and the success of another movie that came out this weekend. Because it's something a little bit different than what we've been getting.
Let's roll into that right now. It's perfect segue. Stephen King's It, a hardcore R-rated movie, horror movie, with zero actors that are not known. Maybe you might recognize a kid from Stranger Things, but that's it. There are literally no other people in this movie. And it made $133 million opening weekend. Holy shit.
Mind-blowing. Absolutely mind-blowing. And like you said, the fact that it's no known actors, it was hard R. It's violent. They say there's all kinds of, like, you know, things that are supposedly dirty in there. But it was amazing to see the success of it. And it was like a great 80s monster movie, man. It was so awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what it is all about. If you've ever read the book, you know, it's Pennywise the Clown, who's a shapeshifter who can. It took place in the 50s. This new movie takes place in the 80s. And so there's a lot, you know. There's a lot you can relate to it more, but like
you can tell that they made it for this generation, so we feel nostalgic about it.
Correct, correct. And it, I mean, it's good. It's a good movie. And like, damn it, if New Line Cinema and Warner Brothers now and every other movie studio in Hollywood look at this film and take notes, because this is how to make a horror movie. Like, it was entertaining. It was funny, and like there were some scary moments, but nothing like just too scary. I mean, there were some problems with it, but. This is how you do a remake. Like, I hate remakes, but like, okay, Friday the 13th, okay, Nightmare on Elm Street, okay, Critters, okay, Ghoulies, whatever. This is how you do a remake. This is how you do it.
And the number one thing that this movie did, which was critical, and I think in any movie, is that you actually care about the characters.
Yes.
This is what's missing in every horror film for the last 20 years, except for a select few, where when the characters are in peril or in jeopardy, you don't want them to die. In every other horror movie for the last 10 years, except for a select few, when the characters are about to die, it's just like, eh, I don't care. They can die. It doesn't matter.
No, that's exactly right. It is, I mean, because you get time with each kid where it might become a little redundant here and there because it's like kind of like the same thing, but you get to know each of these kids, and all these kids are funny, and the best parts of it are having all the kids on screen together and their banter and their like bonding, because it's hilarious and good, and when only one of them's on screen, you're like, where's the others, you know? Oh, so good.
And Brian, you've read the book, right?
Yes, I have.
So what did you think? Now, it's a losing game to compare a book to the movie. It always is. But I think that compared to the Tim Curry It, this was way more of a way better representation of what was in the book than the other one was.
Right. So with Tim Curry, I mean, I think I personally prefer Tim Curry, just because I think he added that playfulness to that character Pennywise the Clown,
but there's not much playfulness in the, if you read, you know, the
no there's not
the
book,
there's really not that much playfulness.
No, there's not, because he's like pretty much always sadistic, and that's how it is in this newer film. But much like Roald Dahl's Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, in the book, he's more like Johnny Depp's version than he is Gene Wilder's. But I love Gene Wilder's, because Gene Wilder made you feel for Willy Wonka as like, shit, I am scared of this guy. But in a second, you really love him and then be scared of him. And that's why I loved about Tim Curry so much, because you're like, oh, it's a kind of a scary clown, but he's kind of fun. But then all of a sudden, oh, God. This is the nightmare of my life. And here it's like pretty much all nightmare all the time. So there was always like every time you see him, you're scared and you're uneasy. Whereas like with Tim Curry, you're like, oh yeah, I'll go over to him and give him a hug. And that's when you die.
Yeah.
But they did a really good job with the kids, the storyline, the pacing was so good. And it was damn funny. These kids are fucking hilarious. And like,
they were.
It's like the banter us three do when we're in the car driving together somewhere. It's like what they talk about. It's like was basically us.
Yeah, they nailed the authenticity of that feel. They really did, where it felt like you were just watching some funny kids hanging out. And I thought the casting that they did for each of the characters was spot on.
Yeah.
It all just worked completely. Like what you expected each character to be like and look like, that's what it was. It was perfect.
Jeremy, are you and Josie going to go see this new It movie?
Probably not. I don't really think we'll have time.
Oh. Are you curious about it?
Sure.
A little bit.
They won't have time between all the extra viewings of Wonder Woman Blu-ray.
Well, Wonder Woman was released digitally, I think, last week. So how many times, Jeremy, have you watched Wonder Woman digitally yet?
Probably 4 or 5. But it's never like – it's not like in straight viewing. It's like she'll come home, we'll go to the gym, do some stuff, and then watch like 30 minutes of it, you know.
Yeah, just have it on?
Yeah.
So is it still good?
Yeah, it's good.
Good. So I just got the my confirmation today. I'm getting Wonder Woman 4K, so hopefully I'll get some to give away. We can give away on this podcast and for you guys and everything, so that'd be cool. But going back to it, I'm just glad that somebody finally did a horror movie remake, a remake that is just this good. And I just, they've been trying to do Nightmare on Elm Street again because the last remake was terrible. They've been trying to do Friday the 13th forever. No, and it's like, this is how you do it. This is how you do it with horror remakes. Like, take notes. This is what we want. And like you said, you don't need to pay $20 million to The Rock to be in your movie. You could have a no-name cast of kids, and it will break the bank.
It's so true.
So very, very excited for it. Very excited for horror fans everywhere. This is very cool. And it releases all timing, too. Part of it's releasing it. Because if this came out during the summer, I'm sure it would have done well. But going up against like big blockbusters, maybe not. But if you release your movies like at the beginning of the year or towards like Oscar season like this, you're going to make a lot of money. So
this is a good way to go.
A good, very damn good way to go. And there will be a sequel. And since this has made so much money, I bet you there's going to be spinoff movies as well. Kind of like a Conjuring type of feel.
You think they're going to do spinoffs? I don't know how they would do that.
I mean, they might.
They have to create completely new material.
Oh, no, absolutely. So they'll do the sequel with all the adults. But remember, in the movie and in the book, you've seen that Pennywise has been around every 27 years for so long. They can go back in time. And do more stuff like that, you know, like the explosion.
There are other stories in the whole thing that they could go off of.
Right. But I bet you they'll do that because it's all about money and it's making money.
It's possible. I could see that. You're right.
Now, how many?
I guess I didn't even think about that until you said it.
How many weeks do you think this movie will be number one?
Oh, gosh. Let me look and see what's even coming out in the foreseeable future here.
Well, Kingsman,
is there anything?
Kingsman 2 is coming out in 2 weeks. So that might be the one to break it.
See, honestly, I don't see Kingsman 2 knocking it out because I just don't see.
See, that's
happening.
Another rated R movie.
It is, but I feel
Kingsman
like
Kingsman 1 made a lot of money though.
It did
in
it
the
did.
Theater.
I'm looking right now. Kingsman,
like they spent a small amount of money in Kingsman and made a bunch back.
I'm looking at it right now. Kingsman was about $81 to $90 million budget, and it made $415 million.
Damn.
So,
well, yeah, maybe it will knock it out then. I guess that with those numbers, it wouldn't be surprising. I think the Lego Ninjago movie actually could knock it out.
So, okay, you say that now because I just got a screening for that. But I said the same thing about Cars 3. I thought Cars 3 was going to blow everyone out of the water this summer because it's Pixar, it's Disney, it's all that shit. It did terribly.
You're right. The Cars, but I think the Cars movie.
Speaking of something
like,
I would have wanted.
No, I really thought that Cars 3, being it's a sequel of Cars, everybody knows it's Pixar, it's Disney. I really thought that summer I was like, everybody's gonna go see Cars 3, even though it might not be good, it's gonna make the most money. And then it like did terribly. It did terribly.
I do remember Kluger was like, this movie's going to make more money than anything the same year that, like, Wonder Woman and Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man were coming out.
I remember that also.
German! So, no, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I actually meant to revisit that moment. So
let's revisit it. I really thought so. I really thought. But, yeah, Wonder Woman, Guardians of the Galaxy, Amazing Spider-Man 2. And do you consider it part of the summer? I guess summer isn't over yet, so.
Yeah, I would consider it a summer movie. It's pretty early in September.
All right. I think that the only other movie this summer, I think Guardians of the Galaxy 2 had a better opening weekend. But I think it is made more money than Wonder Woman opening weekend. I can't remember, but either way,
Brian, how do you think the Flatliners remake is going to do?
Oh God. So it it won't do it money for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely.
The budget is $20 million and that's pretty decent. But there, nobody really, I mean, people remember Flatliners, but I don't know if anybody's really actually going to go out and see it.
Yeah. I mean, even someone like me who loves going to see horror movies in theaters, the interest in that's pretty low right now for me.
I mean, it has a good...
To me, that one feels like a remake for the sake of a remake.
Right,
like just
right.
looking for something to remake and finding that one and being like, yeah, let's do this.
Well, I mean, it's kind of, I can't remember if it's a remake or a sequel. It's a sequel because Kiefer Sutherland's in it, and I think he plays the same character.
Oh, wow.
But so it's, I think it's a sequel, but it's like the same thing. It's like a revamping of everything. And so I don't know. I mean, it's like out of all the movies you could do, I don't understand why anybody would want to get this done. So $20 million, I bet you it'll make $30 million, maybe $40, but that's still losing money for them because they're going to have to do all the marketing. So,
right.
Yeah, and so that comes out September 29th at the end of the month, which is, you know, a decent time to come out if you're trying to be like a small horror movie like this. But, no, I just I don't see it. I mean, do you want to do well? Yes, of course, but not.
You know, I'm actually one that I'm that's coming out very soon that I'm very excited about is Mother.
Okay, so I see Mother tomorrow afternoon. And,
okay, I can't wait to hear what you think of it.
Okay, so first, I am fully putting aside my psychotic fucking hatred for Jennifer Lawrence and seeing this movie.
Jennifer Lawrence.
I can't even say her name without fucking seizing. I don't like her at all. I like Darren Aronofsky for the most part. I did not like his last film, which was Noah. Horrible movie, but Black Swan and Requiem for a Dream were both excellent films. But this is like a horror movie by him, and the trailers look good. And as I was told by the movie rep today, when you review it, it's a lowercase M and then mother with an exclamation point. That's how you have to say it and write it. So I'm like, okay, we'll try.
So you have to say mother really loudly without emphasizing the beginning of it.
Correct.
It's a soft M.
It's a soft
mother.
Mother. Oh, that's funny. Oh, artists.
You just say the M quietly and then yell other.
Well, let's all try that as we're listening to this now. So yeah, I'm really I'm excited for this because it is Aronofsky in a horror movie, and a lot of horror movies coming out now. But yeah, I see that tomorrow, and hopefully, if we need to do a quick like 10-minute talk about it, or we'll just wait till next week to y'all see it. Let's do it.
Yeah, text me once after you've seen it. I want to get your first impressions.
All right, I will. I see it tomorrow afternoon, so I will be calling you. Are you have an interest in this, Jeremy, at all?
Hmm?
Any interest in this movie, Mother?
I've heard of it. I don't really know what it's about.
So kind of like a psychological horror movie about a young woman's tranquil life with her husband, and that's Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem, at the remote country home, and is challenged by a mysterious couple, Ed Harris and Michelle Pfeiffer, who arrive and stay with them. So it's... yeah, it's crazy. Like, and plus, it's gotten a ton of really good reviews so far. So we'll see about this. And if you like, I mean, did you ever see any of Aronofsky's movies, like Pi, Requiem for a Dream, The Wrestler, Black Swan? Any of those?
I saw Pi.
Did you like Pi?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did too.
One with the kid that fucks the pie, right?
Yes, yeah, American Pie. Yes. yeah, no, if you haven't seen Requiem for a Dream or The Wrestler or even The Fountain or, you know, Black Swan, those
Fountain's damn awesome.
You like The Fountain?
Yep.
With Mr. Wolverine? Mm-hmm. Well, that was him,
depressing
too.
Depressing as all hell, but good.
Well, if you have never seen Requiem for a Dream, holy God, and you thought The Fountain was depressing, you should see Requiem
all
for a Dream.
All of Aronofsky's movies are super supremely depressing.
Yes, they are, and I'd imagine this one's no different. But this one is, I mean, he has some horror aspects with Black Swan and Pi here and there, but Mother seems like straight-out horror, so I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. I'm very excited about it.
So let's hope for the best. But yeah, I'll see that this week, tomorrow actually. So I'm excited. So moving on, is there any other movies you want to talk about now, or do you want to go into one of the most fun games ever played that just came out?
Let's talk about one of the most fun games that ever came out.
Okay, Destiny 2 is out and about. You could download it. You could buy it from your local video game retailer. Destiny 2, I bought it. I am level 20, sir, and I've been playing, and I can't believe it. I love it so much. So, Jeremy, John, you are huge Destiny people. You've been playing the first one for years, and all the time. What do you think about Destiny 2? How does it stack up to how does this sequel stack up?
Well, I guess I'll say my piece first, since it's probably much shorter than what Jeremy has to say about it, because Jeremy's played it a lot more than I have, being that it came out like a day or two before my family showed up. So I've been doing the family thing for the last 3 days. So I only played for, you know, I played all day with Jeremy on my birthday. And that's pretty much been my experience with it so far. I think that they made a lot of improvements over the original, but I don't know how I feel about the multiplayer aspect so far. I think, you know, I went on to say a couple weeks ago that I think Titanfall 2 is the best multiplayer shooter that had come out for Xbox so far. And I think that it still reigns supreme in my mind. As much as I've enjoyed the non-competitive multiplayer aspect of Destiny 2, the little bit that I've played, I think Titanfall 2 feels a hell of a lot better, and it's a more rewarding multiplayer experience.
Interesting.
If you're looking for I'm talking like matchmaking. Like if you're doing 4-on-4, killing each other, capture the flag, that type of thing. Obviously, Destiny's strength is that you can play all the missions together and do all the looting and stuff like that. So that's a different thing in that aspect. But if we're just talking, you know, a deathmatch scenario for a shooter, I think Titanfall wins out.
So Atterbury just gave you a review of Titanfall 2. And not Destiny 2.
Destiny 2 seems like it's really good, but I'm disappointed that it's not a better matchmaking experience so far.
Which is weird, because Bungie's usually good at that. But let's go to the expert, Mr. Jeremy Magert, on this Destiny 2 scenario in video game. What do you think? Because I play with you, Jeremy. I play with Josie, too, with this, and I've had a good time. What do you think?
Well, I'm glad you're having fun. you know, with the multiplayer, as I have played a bunch more of the game, so with Destiny, when you play a game like Titanfall, you automatically start out with a high grade of weapon. With Destiny, that's not the case, because you're building your character and you're adding like armor and weapons. Now, when you play the multiplayer, level advantages are disabled, which means everybody's guns do the same damage. But if you're playing against people that are level 20, right, their guns do the same damage as yours, but they're still a higher quality weapon. Like, they're going to have better accuracy, better impact, they're going to have better range. And that is really a lot of what you're going to run into when you first start out. Now that I'm level 20 and I've got decent guns, I can hop into the Crucible and just mow people down. Like, I ended up being on a team yesterday. We were outnumbered 3-4, and we still ended up winning the game. And I played some more last night with some of the other Fisters of Crota, and we had a full team of 4, and we won every game that we played. So,
okay, see, that's what I was hoping was going to be the case.
Yeah, like you definitely have to have the guns. And then the other thing that's new to this is there's the mod system, which is like where you can add mods to your armor and to weapons and things like that. And in Crucible, like, it doesn't really make a difference, in my opinion, for the mods in the regular game, because Destiny is not a game where you play the campaign. You know, you die, you respawn, you know, you have unlimited lives. It's not really a game that's like that you're going to lose at when you're playing the campaign. It's right. Just an experience. But those mods make a big difference when you're in Crucible, because it's things like how quickly does your grenade, you know, When you have something on your armor that makes your void melee or grenade respawn faster, it actually makes a big difference.
Yeah, that's absolutely true.
So that is something that as soon as I kind of like got a little beefier with my character, Crucible was much more fun.
Okay, that's good. That's good to know.
I agree. It's still not as good as like what Titanfall is, you know, from a company that basically was like, hey, we're just going to make a badass multiplayer game. But it is much better than what it was that kind of first day when we checked it out.
Because for me, I guess the reason I was initially a little disappointed is because I really did not enjoy like the raiding aspects of Destiny in the first one. The raids and the grinding drove me absolutely fucking nuts. What I enjoyed the most was the competitive multiplayer like Iron Banner and stuff like that, where it's getting really hard. That's what I spent most of my time doing in that game. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm looking forward to doing in this one also.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They haven't rolled out. They really only have two playlists. There's quick play and competitive, and the competitive play just has kind of like a little bit more complicated game modes.
Right.
That's really the difference between them right now. That's all they've got at the moment. I'm sure that there's going to be more stuff coming soon.
All right. Well, there with the I purchased the actual physical copy of the game, and there was a little insert in there that said that there's already two expansion packs coming, so I guess they're making more. But yeah, no, I love it. I love, you know, you're able to join up a public event in the game where you could just be doing your like main story mission or a side mission, and then just anybody from, you know, across the U.S. you can jump into and like fight something for 10 minutes and get a bunch of loot and you know, upgrades, basically. And that's always fun. I think that's always really cool. And the worlds are really cool looking and beautiful. It looks amazing. It's fluid. It's smooth. I've been enjoying it. And, like, load times are pretty good considering, like, the open world environment. So, no, I'm very happy with it. Like, I played so much this weekend that my eyes started hurting, so... like sometimes when like
dude,
one eye
get you some blue light glasses. Amateur, come on.
I know, I need something because like one of my eyes just started like getting really red and like just hurt, and I was like, oh god, my eyes are open too much or something like that. So I'm doing that. So yeah. I like it so far. It's really good. And like I just told Jeremy before we started recording, like I am jonesing to play it again. Like it has that addictive factor, kind of like what Overwatch had when it first started. Like there's just something there that like, oh man, I got to get back in there and have fun or do something, even though some of it may piss you off, you still love it. So I don't know. I'm really enjoying it though. So Jeremy, you're level 20. I'm a level 20, but yeah. I haven't beaten the game. But you said that level 20 is the highest you can get, but once you achieve level 20, you start getting different perks, right, when you level up?
Well, what you hit level 20, your XP meter keeps going up, so you still like sort of get to level up where you can add things to your subclass, but your actual character level stays the same. But your light level, which is like your power level, that I think I've heard mixed things about how high that actually goes up. I think I'm sitting at like 270 right now, something like that.
Okay.
So, but the way it works is once you hit 20, you get every time you level up, you get a skill point for your skill tree, and depending on where you want to put that in which subclass, and you get a bright engram, which you then get to go take to the NPC Tess Everest, and she decodes it, and you get ships and armor mods and weapons and whatever.
Yeah. No, I like how they do it. I like how they do it. And I must bring up another aspect of the game, which I find it phenomenal, is the score of the game, the music of the game. It is damn good, that operatic voice and celestial sounds, and just like it sounds very epic all the time, and I really like how they've done that. Do you all agree, or what you've heard of it?
I love it. I love the score for Destiny 1 and the so far Destiny 2. Love it.
It is good. And there's so many good voice actors in Destiny 2. So many.
There are.
Do you know who some of them are?
Well, of course.
So if you like, you know, see like voices in your video games, Destiny 2 is crazy with their voice casting. You have people like Nathan Fillion from Firefly. You also have Peter Stormare, Bill Nighy, Gina Torres, Lance Reddick, H. John Benjamin, James Remar, John DiMaggio, Frank Langella, and Lenny James. All these people are like from either The Wire, Firefly, The Walking Dead,
Game of Thrones.
Like, it's crazy. But really cool. They did a good job, and all the voice acting's really good in it. None of it sounds really cheesy at all. And it's a good storyline too. I like Destiny 2. I'm gonna play it. And I haven't. Have I played with you, John, yet?
No.
My God. Oh my God.
Clearly, we're gonna have to remedy that.
Clearly, we definitely are. But yes,
I've got time right after the podcast before I go to the gym.
Oh my God, pre-gym rating. I like the sound of that. All right, so that is Destiny 2. I have to ask the question to Atterbury. Since Friday the 13th, the video game made the update and patches, have you played it? And if so, what do you think?
I have played it, and amazingly, it seems to be fine now.
Weird, huh? Weird.
Yeah. Not only is it working correctly, but it looks better. They made a graphic update as well. So now we're getting the same graphics that people on PS3 or PS4 were getting, and it looks so much better. I was playing it and I'd forgotten about that. I was like, did I change a setting on my TV or something? Because this looks way better than it did the last time I played it. And then I looked it back up, and I was like, oh, yeah, they made an actual, like, graphic update to it. So, yeah, it's working fine now, and I'm super happy about it.
Yeah, I'm glad you are. And hopefully one day in the future, Jeremy will get this game, and we can all play together.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Gerbert! Oh, well, at some point we will. Let's talk about a little sad news that happened yesterday. One of a beloved comic book creator, editor, writer passed away yesterday. What was his name, Jeremy?
His name was Len Wein.
Len Wein, and he basically partnered up with Alan Moore and Dave Gibbons for The Watchmen. He's done Swamp Thing, X-Men, Justice League. He's done it all. But he unfortunately passed away at the age of 69 yesterday. What do you love? Well, I mean, we've talked about so many people have passed away in the comic book industry recently, but what did you like Len Wein, Jeremy?
Yeah, I mean, this the volume of characters that he co-created with people, it's crazy. I mean, just aside from Wolverine, I believe he did Nightcrawler, Colossus, Swamp Thing. The character Amanda Waller from the DC Universe is huge. Storm also. I mean, when you start talking about like Wolverine and Storm, you know, co-creating those characters, when you look at the first X-Men movie, you know, those two characters, you could arguably got more screen time than all of the characters created by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby in that movie. You know, so just from the sheer popularity of them. Clayface, Mockingbird from the Marvel series. I mean, like just the amount of stuff. Lucius Fox, who you saw played by Morgan Freeman in the Christian Bale Batman movies. He created Lucius Fox as well. I mean, and that's on top of all the stuff. I mean, he was like an editor on a ton of really cool things. I mean, the most notable, he was the editor on Watchmen, which is huge.
So. And yeah, it's one of the most talked about and one of the best graphic novels, comic books ever. But yeah, I wonder what Alan Moore thinks, because I mean, to be around Alan Moore and to be around Len Wein, I mean, that just, those two, I mean, you'd want those two at your dinner table for a night just to hear what these guys think, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. So yeah, that's sad. Did he? I'm trying to. Do you know how, why he died or just old age?
I did not look it up.
Oh, I guess. Okay, so I'm reading right now. Ween underwent quintuple bypass heart surgery in 2015. Maybe that has something to do with it. But hopefully, I mean, he went peacefully. And I mean, his, you know, an artist, editor, not, I mean, an artist in the way of like he creates all these things. But his writing will live on, I think, forever. Are you familiar with Lin Ween Atterbury, or did you?
No, I'm not, honestly. If you had just said the name yesterday, I never would have been able to tell you who he was.
All right. Of course,
I'm familiar with many of the characters he created, but not with the guy himself.
All right. Well, we sadly will miss him, but we will read his books for sure. Let's talk about we have to talk about it because it just keeps coming up and I hate it. But Batman, Joker news, anybody? Are we still on this? Do we just want this to go away? What do you think?
I want it to go away.
I want it to go away. Why do you want it to go away?
I want all the DC movies to go away at this point.
Wait, Wonder Woman was good, and you got Justice League that looks awesome. It'd probably be awesome.
Yeah, I'm not going to say Justice League looks awesome. I do not think Justice League looks awesome.
Well, the Justice League you've seen in the trailers is definitely not going to be the Justice League that comes out in theaters.
Most certainly. Well, so I'm hoping it's good, but it's not like when I look at it, I'm like, wow, I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
By some miracle, if we can get a Martin Scorsese Joker movie with Leonardo DiCaprio playing the Joker, absolutely sign me up.
I mean, you look at that and you're like, holy shit, awesome, badass, I'm in, but he will never do that shit. Never. He won't do it.
He
doesn't make fun. Well, I mean, he plays, his movies are more about playing real people now.
who did he play in the freaking Quentin Tarantino movie, Django Unchained? That's not a real person.
Yeah, but that's working with Tarantino, not some fucking idiot DC person.
Well, it's fucking Martin Scorsese, man.
No, that's why. Well, no, wait. Well, Scorsese is not making a Joker movie.
I thought we had found out that he was going to make a Joker movie. I think they were trying to get DiCaprio in there.
No, I think he's going to be producing or executive producing, but I don't think Scorsese's going to make a Joker movie.
That's what I said. If we could get Scorsese doing it and if we could get DiCaprio playing the Joker, then I'd be all about it.
Yeah, if Martin Scorsese.
Outside of that, I don't think I really care that
much. If Martin Scorsese makes Goodfellas with the DC characters in Leonardo as a Joker, I'm so in. Jeremy, what you say?
Not terribly interested about it, you know, in it in general. You know, it's, I'm cool with DC kind of making the out of continuity movies. Plus, at the end of the day, if you get a Joker movie that's the equivalent of Logan, I mean, that's not a bad thing.
No, that's not at all. Holy God. I mean,
because Logan has nothing to do with the continuity of your X-Men movies.
No, only in like passing. Like you hear stories of long ago.
It's mentioned and it's tied to it, but I mean it's not continuity. And I mean, let's be realistic, with the whole continuity thing, Marvel does it really well. You know, Marvel already had, what was it, like 9 movies and an Avenger movie before DC even did one. So, I mean, I'm kind of okay if DC doesn't really want to make a giant movie continuity universe.
Yeah, but I'm fine with that, too.
You know, like, it's one of the things that make their animated movies cool is that they do, you know, they do stuff where they'll do an animated movie version of Gotham by Gaslight, which is like Batman in the time of Jack the Ripper. You know, so it's like, you know, you know, if you abandon the continuity aspect, you could actually get live action versions of some of those things.
But now, if like there's going to be like so many spinoffs of like 3 different Batmans, 3 different Jokers, or whatever, how are we all going to keep up? That's what Marvel does so well. Everything is like in the universe, and like that just keeps the story going. I don't know. I'm done with it.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't know if you necessarily have to have people keep up. I mean, you can just make it and release it, you know?
Yeah.
They'll go see it.
It's like the Universal Movies universe that they're trying to create. Do we really need them all to be tied in, or could it be okay just to make a werewolf movie, just to make a Frankenstein movie, just to make a Dracula movie, or do they all need to be tied in for you to understand it? I don't think – while I'm okay with the idea of both of them, I don't think it's necessary.
I'm more annoyed by the idea of them making a Flashpoint Flash movie, honestly, than a Joker movie.
You're more annoyed with the Flash one than a Joker one?
Yeah, because, like, so they just did Flashpoint, a pseudo-Flashpoint on the TV show last year, and now you're going to take this, you know, a different actor playing Barry Allen, so you're going to have two guys playing a Flash at the same time, and you got one guy on TV that everybody loves, and then you're going to just take the TV show plot and make a movie out of it with the movie guy, you know, and the thing that makes... Flashpoint on the TV series makes a little more sense because you've spent all this time with these characters. And so, like, him changing the timeline and tweaking the characters makes sense. But your first Flash movie is him changing the timeline and altering the lives of all these characters that you don't even know. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, that goes back to John's point of, if you're going to mess with a character, it helps to care about them first. Otherwise, you have no... It's like, oh, everything is all different, but I don't care because I don't know anything, you know, of what's going on. It's like all of my knowledge going into that movie will be from reading the comic book and what I learned on the TV show. So I would rather have, you know, a Joker movie, honestly, than a Flashpoint movie.
All right. Well, I just got another piece of news that we should talk about. It regards the Hellboy movie. They're making a new Hellboy, which I think you two are very excited about, without Ron Perlman or Guillermo del Toro. And it's kind of a reboot, I guess. But it was said that Ed Skrein was going to play a character in the upcoming Hellboy movie, who was an Asian American character, and everybody cried, you know, Hollywood's whitewashing, why are they doing that? Well, Ed Skrein left the movie, and it looks like Daniel Dae Kim, the guy who played Jin on Lost TV show, is going to step in to replace him. What do y'all think about this?
Whatever.
Cool. Yeah. I don't even know the character he's playing. I don't give a rat's ass one way or the other, to be honest.
No one knows the character that he's playing.
True, but do you all think do you think it's a big problem, like the whitewashing of kind of like a Ghost in the Shell, instead of, you know, an Asian chick, it was what's her name, Scarlett Johansson? Do you think that's a problem and it should be rectified like this, or
I think there's a difference between Ghost in the Shell, a character like that, and then some kind of like rando degrade, you know, Hellboy character.
All right.
Personally, I think that it's obviously a problem. And I think the main reason it's a problem is not because, you know, a lot of people want to say, well, I don't see race, therefore I don't see why it matters. It's just cast people. But these are usually well-to-do white people that are saying these kinds of things. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's different, obviously, if you're of Asian descent. There's no reason why the characters that are your characters, that are representative of your culture and your people, why you shouldn't be able to see that put on the big screen. Just like when we got characters of different backgrounds and race and creed in Star Wars Rogue One, I was stoked for all the little kids that finally got to be like, wow, there's a Star Wars character that looks like me. That's awesome. You know what I mean? And I think that's the main reason. It's just so there's more representation, because the problem is that there's not a lot of diversity in leading males, because there's just not they don't give the roles to as many different people as they should. You know, it's like how they talk about how Aziz Ansari says all the time how, you know, Indian guys don't get leading roles. And it's so true.
No, it is. Movies. And it goes back to the conversation earlier. Vin Diesel, probably the worst actor ever made, and he gets paid the most money because he fills seats in theaters. Exactly. Well,
and the problem is, not only does he fill seats, but you get people like Dwayne Johnson and Vin Diesel who are like – could be anything, kind of. And they use that. Hollywood uses the shit out of that. We're like, people don't really know what their race is, so they'll just make them anything. Whether he needs to be African or Mexican or Hawaiian or whatever, like, we're going to make, like, I guess we'll just cast Dwayne Johnson. You know what I mean? And because white people are comfortable with him also.
So no, yeah,
I think it's ridiculous. And I do think that when you see a movie like Aladdin and you know, the whole controversy we're getting with white characters being thrown into Aladdin, I do think that's silly. It doesn't like offend me as a person, but I'm like, why? Why can't we
cast in Aladdin?
Well, they were originally going to cast some white actor as a main character, but they pulled him, and then they added a new white character in there.
Right, right. And they cast, you know, a race specific for the role too, which I mean
they created
I'm for this
Aryan looking character for sure.
I like this idea, because I mean, there are good actors on, you know, everyone is, you know, all these people are good actors, and but you know, when you have When you're casting a role, you know, something like, let's say, this Hellboy thing, they probably did Ed Skrein because he would bring more seats than Daniel Day-Kim would. But, you know...
Totally. But it's because that Daniel Day-Kim hasn't been given a fair chance yet to develop superstar status.
Well, I mean, he would be good for the role, I would imagine. And it's probably a smaller role, but still.
Yeah,
it's
and if you
cool.
give him the role, then the next time around somebody wants an Asian guy, they'll be like, oh, cool, we'll use that guy that everyone liked in the Hellboy movie.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just like how, you know, after The Walking Dead, we got Glenn, and he's been popping up in more things now.
Yeah, no,
and,
of course.
And that's what we need. The reason we need to not be whitewashing shit is so that you don't have it stuck. You don't have the studio stuck where they're like, well, I want to cast an A-lister, but that means I have to go with somebody that's white. You know what I mean? That's the crappy part about it, I think.
Yeah. Who knows what will happen, but Hellboy is coming out. Another Hellboy is coming out, and hopefully at some point. So yeah, that's the news. Is there anything else y'all are watching or doing or want to talk about? With a few minutes left.
Well, I haven't watched it yet, but I just got a subscription to Stars, and I'm so ready to start watching American Gods.
So American Gods and Ash vs. Evil Dead is on Stars, and I think you're going to love both.
I've seen season one of Ash vs. Evil Dead, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to starting season two. And but I have not. American Gods, Neil Gaiman's one of my favorite authors, and I'm very, very excited to watch American Gods.
So, Jeremy, you watched American Gods, right?
I did.
And you liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Now, did it conclude with season one, or are they going to do a second season?
Oh, they're definitely going to do a second season. I want to say they announced that they were doing a second season after, like, the first or second episode aired.
Yeah, that's okay. What I remember,
I just didn't
too.
Wonder if it was more of a miniseries or an ongoing show.
Even with where they're – with the kind of the spot that they left it off on, like, they totally ended it – to me, they ended it knowing they were going to be doing more.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think –
It's one of those things where it ended with just, like, where you're like, all right – next episode.
Yeah.
Right now.
I can't wait. And Brian, have you read much of Neil Gaiman's work?
Yes. I enjoy Neil Gaiman. And I haven't seen all of American Gods, but I've seen a few episodes. I just got behind. What I saw of it, I really liked. And I liked his older TV show called Neverwhere as well.
When did they do Neverwhere? Where can you watch that? Because Neverwhere is actually one of my – I was going to ask you if there's any word on maybe doing an adaptation of Neverwhere, because that's one of my favorite books of his, and I didn't know they already done it.
So Neverwhere was a BBC miniseries back in – I believe it was 1996. I'm looking it up right now. I believe it was like 1996, and they did Peter Capaldi was in it, you know, the most recent Doctor. You'd recognize quite a bit of people in it, but yeah, it was actually really good. You know what? I actually might have still my DVD copy. It's never been released on Blu-ray,
oh, okay.
But it's released on DVD, I think. only. And if I still have it, you will send me your address and I will mail it to you so you can watch it. Unless, you know, first check, you know, Netflix, Hulu, and all that.
Right. Yeah. I'll
but,
do that.
Let me know, text me, and I'll definitely send you that. But yeah.
Okay. Looks like well, that sounds like one they should remake also. I mean, I feel like we could get a great HBO series or something along those lines of that book.
Yeah.
If it was, I mean, if it was made in 1996 on a TV channel, then it probably could be doing for some upgrading.
Oh, that's like over 20 years, you know, of...
Which still sounds wrong. When anyone says the 90s was 20 years ago, that's still just is like, what are you talking about? That was 10 years ago.
The late 90s was 20 years ago. God, Jeremy must be 60 now. Who knows?
Only from the waist down.
From
41, and everyone knows because I said it at the beginning of the show.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
You asked.
All right. So I'm reading something here. Okay, wait. Okay. All right. This is what I'm reading. Okay. So there is a they did a audio reading, like a radio audio reading of Neil Gaiman's Neverwhere recently, not a video, but audio. And they had Benedict Cumberbatch, James McAvoy, Natalie Dormer, and David Harewood read for the parts.
Wow, that sounds cool. I've got an audio book of it that's really good, but it's just read by one guy.
Yeah, so I guess you can look up the radio, so it's only audio. But no, yeah, they've never remade it. So I feel like... You know, with the success of something like American Gods and Everybody Likes Neil Gaiman type stuff, why aren't more of his books out right now? But like Jeremy said, yeah, I think you're going to like it. But yeah, Neverwhere, let me know and I'll definitely send stuff to you so you can watch it.
I shall.
Yes, yes. Also, quickly, before we go, Star Wars Episode 9. The horrible fucking debacle that is Lucasfilm and Disney and Star Wars right now, firing every director they can. Star Wars 9 does not have a director right now. Kathleen Kennedy famously fired Chris Miller and Philip Lord for their Han Solo spinoff movie. For Rogue One, they basically redid a lot of it with Tony Gilroy. And now Colin Trevorrow was set to do episode 9, which Colin Trevorrow directed the recent Jurassic World. Was that time traveling movie? I'm trying to remember. But he has been fired from Star Wars episode 9. And
thank God.
What?
Thank God.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm so with John on this one.
Talk to me, bitches. Talk to me.
Jurassic World was a gigantic dinosaur-sized pile of shit.
It was so fun and entertaining.
Remember the pile of poop that the doctors were having to sift through in the original Jurassic Park?
Triceratops poop?
That's Jurassic World.
Jesus. Okay, explain yourself.
There's nothing to explain. Have you fucking seen it?
Hey, it's
terrible.
Yes, it was fun.
Terrible.
It was
in every conceivable way. It's a fucking turd,
dude. Have you seen that movie? Jaws is in that movie, and there's one of the best death scenes ever. There's this like giant dinosaur pelican that comes out of the sky and kills this lady like 5 times. It's amazing.
Nope.
Are you waiting for us to list all the reasons why that movie was terrible? Because we'll probably need another episode. We could do that and Alien Covenant in one episode.
Oh my! Yeah. So no, we're saving that for next time. We're saving Jurassic World and fucking Alien Covenant because I liked both those movies.
And like, Jurassic World made money. This is the opposite of what I said earlier, where some movies make a lot of money because you have an actor or a director or whatever, right? This movie made money just because it was the first Jurassic Park movie in a long time. Outside of that, dude, the writing was terrible. You had the running and high heels scene.
Wait, we're saving it till next time. This is going to be an Alien Covenant Jurassic World episode next time.
You're going down, huh?
You're going down steel cage match style. I can't wait. Oh, my God. But before we...
So long story short, we're glad that he got fired from Star Wars 9.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not, but... Since they're directorless right now, who do you desire to be director of Star Wars Episode 9?
I heard that they hired a guy named Jordy Flukas.
You fucking wish and not.
No, I don't wish. Why not just have Irvin Kershner fucking direct the third one? The ninth one. That's the dream, right?
That would be cool.
Is he alive?
No, he's not. He died 7 years ago.
I guess that's why.
That's why.
Well, never mind.
Would he be better than Colin Trevorrow at this point in time?
I asked why not, and you gave me the answer. So that's a good fucking answer.
Well, I guess I just have to accept that.
Oh, damn it. So
aside from that, I don't know. I mean, I would be completely fine if this next movie's good, just letting the same guy do it. You know, have Rian Johnson do it.
I
love all the movies of all the stuff of his that I've seen. I've really enjoyed, and I don't see why we need to have a different goddamn director for every movie.
So
I agree, especially in the case of a trilogy where you're telling one kind of coherent story across three movies. I would almost kind of prefer it to be the same kind of dude or creative team across the board.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like I'm saying we need to have the same director for Rogue One and for the Han Solo movie and for all these things. But for episode, you know, the continuation of this new trilogy, just have the same guy do it, except unless it we're talking about I'm having a brain fart right now, but the guy that did episode 7.
Oh, J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, unless we're talking about Abrams, because, I mean, while it was fine, I don't think that he has the capacity to do what we want.
So, Rian Johnson came out on Twitter today saying, he didn't, like, make it in cement, but he pretty much heavily hinted that he was not going to do the ninth movie, because everybody was like, just have him do it, just have him do it. He said today on Twitter that he wasn't going to do it. However, that brings the choice up of so many other directors. You know, J.J. Abrams, he said he didn't want to do it anyway. And then you have Ron Howard that stepped in. And then, I mean, what would you say to, like, you know, if they're going that route, like a veteran, easygoing director... Spielberg Star Wars. Holy shit. That might be
Spielberg Star Wars would be incredible. I would love to see that. And I don't think we're going to get that.
No, I don't think we're going to get that.
Yeah, that was Revenge of the Sith.
What?
And you loved it.
What? That was Lucas.
He helped.
He didn't help.
He was there.
No, he was there for like one day.
Footage on my DVDs.
And if we absolutely had to get a new director for this movie, I would like to see Joss Whedon do it.
So, yeah. Oh, I mean, Joss Whedon basically directed one of the best Star Wars movie ever. It was called Serenity and Firefly.
Yeah.
So we've already gotten that from him. But like,
oh, we have. I would like to see him doing actual Star Wars.
Yeah. No, that one would be cool, but it's not going to happen. I really think, like, realistically, I bet you Kathleen Kennedy and Lucas and Disney are looking like, holy shit, that guy who just directed it did such a good job. It's getting great reviews and made a lot of money. Let's ask him to do it.
It's a terrible idea.
That's a terrible idea. I agree.
Hey, it goes in line with like the kind of up and coming indie filmmaker vibe they've been doing.
It's not right for this movie. I mean, as great as it was, it would so not work for that style would not work one bit for Star Wars, at least not the trilogy Star Wars.
So besides,
I got some suggestions.
What
about the Russo brothers?
I mean, that would be so badass, like the John Wick guy. Oh, not John Wick guys. Those are not the Russo brothers. Wait. No, it's not.
Winter Soldier.
Yeah, the Captain America guys. They Civil did Civil War, yeah.
Avengers.
That would be badass. Absolutely.
That'd be great.
That would be
or really- even the dude who did I'm blanking on his name, but he did the first Captain America, he did the Rocketeer, and he did storyboards on the Star Wars original trilogy, and he created Boba Fett.
What, really?
Yeah.
So the guy who directed the Rocketeer?
Yeah.
Joe Johnston?
Yes, Joe Johnston.
Okay, well, he's an old dude, but he's been around a long time. Yeah, he did. He was the effects and art director for all the Star Wars and all the Raiders of the Lost Ark stuff. And I mean, he's still at work. He directed Captain America: First Avenger, and before that was the remake of The Wolfman. He did direct Jurassic Park 3. As well as Jumanji and The Pagemaster and The Rocketeer and Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. But he's worked closely.
Jurassic Park 3 is better than Jurassic Park 2.
That is
better than Jurassic World.
But let's go with Jeremy's suggestion. That is a damn good suggestion because
I actually really like that idea.
Joe Johnston is definitely in the know with Lucas and Star Wars and Spielberg and all those people and Kathleen Kennedy, because he's definitely been on those things. And interestingly enough, Joe Johnston was a producer on Willow. And that means that's Ron Howard. That'd be weird.
What about a Brad Bird Star Wars movie?
So I've been hearing that name around too, but Brad Bird is like balls deep in Pixar shit right now. I doubt he's going to go over to Star Wars anytime. I mean,
Unless Brad Bird,
he did Incredibles. The guy did Incredibles. He's a big Pixar guy.
Gotcha.
Brad Bird. The Incredibles, The Iron Giant, Ratatouille, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol. He was, and he's doing Incredibles 2.
Yeah, that's the problem with that list.
What?
Ghost Protocol.
Oh, we also did Tomorrowland, but like I said, Incredibles 2.
Also a problem.
Incredibles 2, he's hard at work on, and then they would have to push back Star Wars, and they're not doing that. So
he can do the next one after that. It's not like they're stopping at 9.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely not stopping at 9. But I've heard Brad Bird. Definitely have heard Brad Bird. Would y'all want to see like a Tarantino Star Wars?
Absolutely, as long as it's not main trilogy.
Not main
trilogy? Like, if they wanted to give the Jabba movie to Tarantino, I would fucking green light that in a second.
make it rated R?
Yeah. I don't ever see that happening in a million years, but I think it would be a lot of fun.
All right. I see you there. What about, let's see, I'm trying to think of really awesome movies recently that I've seen that would be just badass to, you know, for somebody to get that chance to direct a Star Wars movie. I really think they're going to go the light way and either have Ron Howard go with it or somebody like that. In a best case scenario, I really think Spielberg Star Wars finally would be so badass.
Now, I don't know how I feel about them doing Episode 9, but I would love to see the Wachowskis doing a Jedi movie.
Oh, man. Do you imagine there would be so much backlash on the internet? People would be for it. I like the Wachowskis. I love Matrix. I love V for Vendetta. I love Speed Racer.
And Cloud Atlas.
I love Cloud Atlas. I like them. So that would be really cool.
I'd like to see them do like a an early days of the Jedi type of thing with them.
Exactly. More philosophical, you know, because it dig like, into that stuff.
Very like kind of samurai version, early Jedi, you know.
That'd be so good.
Building the first lightsabers, shenanigans like that.
That'd be pretty cool. Well,
I'm never going to get my Darth Bane movie, but whatever.
Maybe man. Day. We can hope.
Like you said, Disney is not stopping. They could do a Darth Bane movie. You never know. But, excuse me, hopefully within the next, you know, couple weeks, there will be a director announced. And hopefully it's all one we really like, because you're our only hope. Kathleen Kennedy, you seem to be running the ship. Don't crash it into an iceberg.
What do you mean she seems to be running in the ship?
She is running the ship.
That's why I said she seems to be running the
ship. 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
So that's Star Wars. That's the good stuff. I think that's our show for this week. It was a good show. It was a fun show.
It was a fun show.
It was. Was a fun show. And stay tuned for next week, where I school these bitches on how amazing Alien Covenant and Jurassic World was and still is.
I'm going to destroy your butthole on that one.
Oh, I can't wait. We are Mediocrity, thanks to Jeremy. Oh, wait.
We'll do this one in person because John's going to be in town.
Oh, yes, we will.
It'll be even better because we'll all be in the same room.
I have boxing gloves in my car. I can't wait. Oh, I'm so excited. We are.
I'll make some finger cuffs out of you.
Oh. It's going to happen. Yeah, next week we'll all be in person. So I might set up my GoPro cam and we can get a video of all of us talking. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, next week, Mediocrity, Jeremy Mager, Jonathan Atterbury, find them on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. And we are Mediocrity. And until next week, I mean, we're all looking good next week. This week. Next week, we might all be bloodied and bashed in because they will realize one way or the other.
It will just be Kluger's wiener that's bloodied and bashed in. that's really all. Jeremy and I are just going to take turns punching it for an entire hour.
Well, it'll make for good radio. So until next week, have a good day and good afternoon and good night.